Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. Coming to you from the Ahern Hotel, we have Keith Whitfield. He's the president of UNLV. Here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Gear up for the 105th Reno Rodeo at the Double R Marketplace and experience the biggest little shopping adventure in the West. With over 100 vendors, you'll find everything from Western attire to home decor to tasty treats. Open every day during the Reno Rodeo at the Livestock Event Center Indoor Arena and South Exhibit Hall. The Double R Marketplace, Thursday, June 20th through Saturday, June 29th. Plus, shop online anytime at renorodeo.com for Reno Rodeo merchandise.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Ahern Hotel in Las Vegas. We are delighted to welcome to the program for the first time Keith Whitfield. He is president of UNLV. Welcome, sir.
Very good to be here, Sam.
I've been very much looking forward to visiting with you, but I do want to start out on what's been going on campuses across the country, including UNLV, which are these demonstrations. And what are your thoughts? What occurred at UNLV? Where are we now?
We've had a few small, very small protests. They look nothing like the national scene. And what we've been doing is making sure that when we can, we use them as educational moments to teach our students. Free speech is free speech, but there's also boundaries to it. Really, our perspective, I'll even say my perspective is that I want to make sure that we as our rebel community are humane and remember our humanity to one another. You know, some of the most vitriol kinds of arguments are over the loss of life. And it's like, yeah, so let's be civil to one another. And we do have student code of conducts that make sure that our students are responsible. And so it's not to say, you know, we don't have incidents. We have them. They are, you know, the students for the most part are very well behaved. What I think has happened on a couple of occasions is that it's been people outside the university that actually have come in and caused more difficulties and more difficult situations.
And that is the story that's going around the country.
Yeah.
Do you have any concept at this point of who these people are and who they represent?
No, because you hear them from different sources, and so it doesn't seem to be any one, but you're exactly right. What you're seeing at a lot of college campuses is that the students in some ways are being influenced, and I don't want to, you know, they're thinking through what they're doing, but they're being influenced by, I think, sometimes outside entities more than inside. At some campuses, though, it has grown internally in that they have something internal that is really a big, you know, let's say difficult movement. But what one of the things we're trying to do at UNLV is to try to figure out a way to have healthy discussions. And that, you know, it's like the timing, because it's got to be that things are settled down a little bit. And, you know, we've got great faculty who are all interested in thinking about how could we actually have an educational moment so that you can learn about what anti-Semitism really is, that you can look at the history of the region and see what's happened. Because while, you know, we have very smart students, sometimes I worry that they don't fully get the full history of what has gone on there. And again, that's one of the things that we do, is that we educate people. And so we have some great faculty that are thinking about ways we can do that.
Somebody expressed to me surprise that there was so little known about the Holocaust. And then I reminded them of how long ago that was. It's many generations ago now. And no, we shouldn't forget, but it's not something that is front and center.
Yeah. And you know the old adage, if you forget history, you're doomed to repeat it. I think that that's true. I got a wonderful opportunity a number of years ago to go to the Holocaust Museum in LA, and it's transformative when you really get, and again, it's what we're in the business for, which is educating people. We can actually understand what happened and what the forces were and who was involved. It really does give you a different perspective, and so we're hoping that this is going to be a moment that we can do this as well.
A lot of people have related what's happening now to the time back in 68. But that really was a different scenario. You know, we had American kids fighting in Vietnam. Do you see parallels between the two, or do you see this as a whole different situation?
For the point you just raised, I think that there is some difference. But you know, the other difference is that we have social media now. You know, 68, I was kind of a young spud, but
Weren't we all?
Yeah, let's hope so. But my dad was in the Vietnam War, and I think about how we actually got information. It was always delayed. It was always very distant. I think now we do get kind of the blow-by-blow. People are tweeting and videoing things right away. But I think also we think that we know more than what we really know. Social media kind of gives you that power because you have so many people that then say, oh yes, and I watched this, and so if so many people watched it, must be true. Well, not necessarily. And so it's different. I think the other point that you raised, which was, is that we had Americans fighting in that war as well. And so it made the dynamic different than this one. From somebody who lived through as a child of a veteran who fought in the war, I feel like this is just, it's different.
And social media and the failure of so many news organizations, both on a local and to an extent on a national level, every time I have a discussion with somebody and they bring up some bizarre point, I say, what's the source? And it drives them crazy because they don't know the source. Well, I saw it on Facebook or I saw it on Twitter or whatever. But it's like, well, was it a credible source? I mean, the cat with two heads, I don't know. If it's not the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal reporting it, maybe I'm going to be a little doubtful.
Yeah. I shared a similar example with some of our students in one meeting that we had with them. They were saying, well, this is trending. And I thought, well, they have a cat that plays with a ball that's trending too. I mean, does that make it really newsworthy? And I think that that's just one of the difficulties. It's a blessing and a curse that we can get a lot of information relatively quickly. It's just the validity, it's just the accuracy of that sometimes comes into question.
But people really do want to know the truth. Yeah. They do want to know what's going on. Yeah. And I think that it's incumbent at some point for corporations that control media outlets to find a way. It's okay, I have no problem with you having MSNBC on one side and Fox News on the other. That's fine. You can watch both and get both sides and decide for yourself. But I think that people need a place where they can hear reality and absorb that and put that into their lives instead of just getting it off their phone and not knowing whether it's valid or not.
Well, isn't that part of your mission?
That's exactly what we
that's
do.
That's what you're trying to do.
No, that's
100%. Yeah.
But I mean, I don't want to blow my own horn, but I mean, yes, that's exactly what we try to do here. We present all kinds of positions from very liberal to very conservative and a lot of the middle, because I think that that's where most of America lives, is in the middle. We have just been led to believe that we don't.
Yeah. We do have partisan conversations on everything. You know, it appears sometimes if you say gold bars are a good thing to have, somebody will say, "Oh no, they're not because of," and it's like, well, how could something so obviously good be bad? But it's because there are just opposing views, and social media magnifies those things. And I think if you figured out a way to be able to actually have an equal, fair reporting of different sides, so that people could always then be able to see the entire spectrum of things, I think would be fantastic. Because for so many different things, sometimes for us as a university, sometimes we, somebody, whoever's the fastest to tweet, you know, will tweet something, but it's oftentimes or sometimes not accurate. And so then we spend time trying to, you know, being very targeted and very strategic about when we put out a message, of making sure that we think that it's going to be heard, you know, the timing, where our audience is, we think about all of those things, rather than just putting out something for the sake of putting something out.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back much more with the president of UNLV, Keith Whitfield, after this timeout.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Keith Whitfield. He is the president of UNLV. You were talking about a major NSF grant that the university received. Mm. Tell us about it and why you're excited.
We need a different scientist. I'm a scientist, but different scientists for me to tell you all about it. But it is a grant that is with ASU and Utah State. And we're a third piece. Maybe DRI is with that one as well. One of the things that we're doing is...
But it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, even across four different institutions. It's a lot of money. It is to be able to look at things related to sustainability, looking at minerals and different processing. Each school has a different responsibility for how they'll do, but they're going to work in concert with one another. So it's one of those things that, as a research one institution like UNLV is, that's our bread and butter. That's what we try to do. And the smartest thing to do is don't think you can do everything by yourself. I'm a psychology person by training, and so I'm not the best at math, but I always say, you know, one and one makes three. Is that when you can, you know, have your grants and they can have their grants, and then you can collaborate on them, you actually really produce more things to investigate, more answers to be had, more ways in which we can improve society, more ways that we can answer technology questions, lots of things like that. And so that's just one example. We've got a couple of others that are percolating up that we're working with UNR on, ones that we're working with Desert Research Institute, even some other schools in the Southwest region.
And by the way, I'm not letting you balance my checkbook.
That's probably smart.
Even though I get your concept, one and one does not make three.
Yeah, you'd get more money out of it, but I don't know, the money wouldn't actually be there. You'd see numbers, but not the money.
One of the things I find very exciting, and Bo Bernhardt is going to be on the program later on this week, is Blackfire.
Yeah.
It's an incredible campus.
Yes.
Would you share a little for people that don't know what it is?
Yeah, so Blackfire sits on our research and technology park, the Harry Reid Research and Technology Park. That park is about 120 acres, and I would say the main structure.
By the way, that is massive for people that don't realize.
It is going to be maybe fully subscribed, hopefully in the next 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
In terms of we need to build another Blackfire building. I'm not going to steal all of Bo's things because, too, you'll get a depth from him that will just be amazing. Bo has provided incredible leadership. He, I think, took it from the foundational work that was being done at first, and when he came in, he's just made it sing. I mean, there's over 100 companies there. They go from startups to Fortune 500 companies. We're looking at every way in which we can use every square inch of that ground to both be able to advance research, be able to explore new technologies, but also be able to serve the city and the state. For example, one of the things that a most recent endeavor, you can ask him about this, he knows much more than I do about it, but is Nevada Studios.
The film studios.
People are very interested in seeing film come in some form or fashion. There's lots of details to it, but this is one of those efforts. And so as your research park that is a technology park, this is a lot of technology that actually goes into how content is created in that industry now. And so it fits very well there. And so that's something that, you know, they've got to do their little work that they've got to do on their part, but we have opened up a portion of it to be able to be a host to them.
So that leads me to AI, artificial intelligence. So it's been going on for a long time, and people don't really realize it from, you know, I don't want to say the name on my phone that is my technical advisor, because suddenly it'll start talking to me, but we all know what I'm talking about, and your assistant on the other kinds of phones. Your cars have become safer because of artificial intelligence. But how do you regard artificial intelligence in concept with the university system?
Sure. So I'll just
put it
out there.
Does it excite you or scare you?
Well, I'll put it out there. We created the first digital president. We had two UNLV grads that came to Blackfire, and they were creating these avatars, extremely real life, used AI to be able to take sources and be able to have people answer questions from it. And I was like, I actually came in August of 2020, was desperate to be able to try to connect with our students. And I saw that and thought, hey, we could do that at UNLV. And so there is a digital president, we call him DPW, Digital President Whitfield. And it's mostly to be able to help students be able to figure out ways, particularly to navigate websites. You know, one of the things that when you become a powerhouse university like UNLV is becoming, the websites, you can click for days. So what we do is to have this person almost as a concierge to try to help give them information, direct them to things. Because I was very concerned about mental health among our students as well, we have a module that's mental health, and so you can talk to them about some mental health things. It's not a therapist. What it does is connect you with resources. And so for me, AI is important. We have to make sure we keep in mind that it is a tool. We can't be very passive and just allow it to just kind of do whatever it's going to do. There's lots of questions to be able to ask. There's lots of things to be able to think of in terms of making sure that it stays as a tool and does not become something bigger, more, I don't even know what it could morph into from that. I have really enjoyed with some of our faculty. They're very curious. I think there's others who are concerned about it. And the ones who are concerned about it, I'm like, don't just stand back and be afraid of it. Engage it, think about guidelines, think about how you want students to be able to use it. One of the biggest fears is that students will use this to write papers. Well, yeah, you can do that. But we've had some of our faculty that have already shown me there's a way that you take it, you actually tell it to write the paper, but then you do a different way in which you analyze the paper. There's ways that you can creatively have that technology that you know is out there and be able to use it as a tool to be able for instruction. I think the other thing is that there's going to be ways in which we can actually teach classes, be able to have ways in which we can assess students' competency and knowledge through using AI. And so we just have to engage it. We can't just stand on the sidelines with it.
I think one of the lessons we learned with COVID was that we weren't prepared on any level, education-wise, to be able to teach people remotely.
Yeah.
But also, we have some wonderful teachers in this country. And they need to be recorded and shown to classes all around the country, I think, on a regular basis. I mean, is that appropriate from your perspective, or should it all be in person? I don't want anybody to lose their jobs. I'm just saying that if you can take the best teachers and people can become engaged with them through the technology, that that may be a great way to advance our society.
I agree with you. Although also my day job is for a brick and mortar school. And so there are benefits that you get from in person that you can't get from online. It's just, there to me, there's a certain amount of distance that actually happens. And that, thinking of business schools have things like executive MBAs. And so you do some things online, and then you come in person to do it. That kind of hybrid approach, I'd be more invested in than if we, for example, if UNLV tried to become a completely online school. We'd
right.
never do that. Our benefit to for the students that we serve is actually being there in person. So you need a little bit of both. But I think to your point, the ability to have additional resources. I mean, we consume information. It's amazing when you think of, we were talking about the Vietnam War. If you go back 40 years to how we consumed information versus when we pull out our cell phones and how much information we can actually decipher from it. So we're working with a population that is used to getting a lot of information. So yes, I think it's another avenue to be able to provide additional information. And like you said, I'm sorry, I'm a little biased, but UNLV has some incredible teachers. And I'd love it sometimes if others got to be able to see them. And so there could be other ways that you could, you know, engage folks using online, using remote. While I don't think that we were fully prepared, I think most places, and particularly UNLV, we adapted. There are some people, I think, that probably started off saying, oh, I don't want to do anything online or remote. And they found out that they were good at it. And they're actually as good, sometimes better, remotely, just because of their style and how they actually design their courses and the interaction. And so, yes, you know, it's that, no, it shouldn't be one or the other. We have this other way that we can share information, and we should capitalize on it.
All right, let's take one more break, and we'll be right back.
Hit the open road with a truckload of cash free play in one of three luxury travel trailers during the $250,000 travel time giveaways. Thousands in weekly giveaways plus $7,500 in grand prizes guaranteed. And a new travel trailer or $35,000. Now at the Carson Valley Inn.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Keith Whitfield. He is the president of UNLV. I can't say your name, but I know you're the president of UNLV. So in our remaining time here, I could ask you for your top three things, but we have time for one. What is the biggest thing, the biggest goal that you're trying to accomplish right now with UNLV? Because it's such an exciting time in Southern Nevada. Everything is on fire in a good way.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The same one is extremely difficult. Let me try to give you a couple ones quickly. One is an urban research university. One of the things that we are committed to is being able to do things that both benefit man but benefit community. So we're trying to do even more in the community. The research piece of it, being able to make sure that we have great researchers that come, but also that the students get really firsthand experiential learning. We have something that's called the Presence Innovation Challenge. We bring, actually, AI in education was this year's topic. We usually have three teams. They couldn't decide. We had seven teams that we had to try to decide because they were all doing these incredibly interesting, fascinating things. And so fully engagement with students. I think the other piece of it is, and you'll get a chance to talk with Bo Bernhardt, is about economic development. Universities can help drive economic development and growth.
Oh, I think that's one of the great secrets that people don't realize is how much economic development comes out of a university, a good university. Yeah. And it's happening both in Northern and Southern Nevada.
Well, our chamber and the LVGEA, I love it because they've heard us and they've said, oh my gosh, you guys are doing all of this other stuff. We need to know that so that as we talk to our business community, as we grow, as possibilities there, they know what the resource the university actually is. Great cities, great regions have great universities.
Yes, they do. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. And please come back soon.
Thank you very much for the time, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
Here on 7 at 7, we're bringing you the local headlines in just 7 minutes.
We've got you covered in the morning, evening, and for all breaking news, in between, and as it happens.
Life is busy, and we don't waste your time. Join us for local news now streaming on our YouTube page.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers come to you from the Ahern Hotel in Las Vegas. As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching. We'll see you.